No, I'm waiting. I'm gonna wait. I'm waiting for the very last.
He didn't, so I get caught up there.
I'm.
Okay, it is 6 o'clock p.m. on Tuesday, May 9th, 2023. We'll call the Common Council meeting to order. Let's stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do want to make a note that Jennifer is joining us via FaceTime right in front of me, so if you have any questions of her, she's there. So we will be taking voice votes tonight, just so you're aware of that. We'll go ahead and call roll call. Rosie?
Weigel.
Here.
Varga.
Here.
Middleton.
Mm-hmm.
Crowder.
Here.
Romano.
Present. There you go. Thank you. In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting, which was on April 25th, 2023. Were there any changes or corrections? Actually, we don't have a quorum. We can't pass those. So we'll have to put that to the next meeting. So we'll move on past that. Next up is the rezone for KRJ Properties. Nathan apologizes for not being here tonight. He wasn't able to make it, but you will see that there is a full report in there from the Planning and Building Department regarding that subdivision. It did go through Plan Commission. It is a rezone of that property.
A portion of it, yes, I apologize.
Thank you. And Connie, I know you're here. Do you want to say anything? No, okay. So in front of you, like I said, you can see there where what the proposed change is. It was sent to us from the Planning Commission with a favorable recommendation.
But did we talk about this one a couple weeks ago?
So this was the annexation,
okay,
if you remember.
Yeah.
So this was. We have two phases of the annexation to take place. First phase is completed. Second phase is, I'm assuming, we'll start here soon. I think there was a kind of a cool off period, if you will, in between the two. That's 100% voluntary annexation, for the record. And so, Chip, do you have anything to say about that?
No.
Okay.
It passed with flying colors. Yep. Planning Commission.
For the rezone.
Yeah, the bluffs.
Yeah.
Okay. So, can I have a motion to read ordinance number 2023-9 by title only?
So moved. Second.
Motion by Dan, seconded by Walt for the discussion. We'll go to the voice vote. Tad?
Aye.
Dan?
Aye.
Walt?
Aye.
Jennifer?
Aye.
Okay, it's unanimous of those present. Please read ordinance number 2023-9 by title only.
Ordinance 2023-9, an ordinance amending the zoning classification of certain property from R1 single family residential district to the R3 multifamily residential district.
So again, this is for the bluffs at Cider Mill, and I think it's fairly well self-explanatory there of the kind of the portion of that that they'll be adjusting. Dan, Walt, you guys are both on Plan Commission. I don't know.
We had a lot of discussion, but on the end of it, you know, obviously we passed it by the way it was. But you know, it was a lot of questions asked. The developer answered those questions for rezoning, which is different than the subdivision. You know, we got to look at the rezoning part of the subdivision,
right,
and what they're planning to do within R3. So. It met all the things, the developer answered all the questions in a very professional way when we were there. So I think he was there also by chance.
I was, yep. So. Yep. I think, you know, at the previous meeting it had been tabled.
Right.
And I think between that meeting and the latest meeting in which it passed, there was a lot of questions that the developer did answer. And I think it really satisfied a lot of the concerns of the Plan Commission as I saw it. being in the audience. Yep.
And so the R3, so, I mean, maybe you can fill me in on, because I wasn't privy to the conversations.
Sure.
Like, what are some of the plans for the multi-family? Is it, or, yeah.
Yeah.
You want to address that?
Connie, do you? You want to? I gotta have you come up. I'm sorry. I know you don't want to, but yeah, I need your name and address, and then obviously you can address Councilman Varga's question.
Connie Dye, 1660 East, 250 North, Columbia City, Indiana. So your question: we just had R3 for a portion of the section, which we're not even developing all that yet. We wanted to see what the demand is. And it's going to be, there can be single homes there, but also there might be duplexes, there might be townhouses.
Mm-hmm.
It can be up to four buildings, four connected with homes, not more than four. And I'm not even saying we're going to do that.
Sure.
We just wanted that option.
So by rezoning at R3, that covers that in case.
Yeah, it gives the ability for the townhomes instead of a true single-family residential scenario. And again, keep in mind, I think one of the things that was talked about at the Plan Commission meeting, correct me if I'm wrong, Dan or Chip, but I think one of the things that was really discussed was how many townhomes can you fit on one lot? Because I think it's a maximum of four, but most of the lots we're not sure would actually take four. So just to be clear about that.
In which phase of that is that a possibility? Was that phase three, or you're going to do phase one and two, or just not that it matters?
Well,
I just
do you have a map in front of
you? I do.
Okay, as you drive in from 200, that's going to be like on the left and the right there.
Uh-huh.
And then eventually that little circle area will be where we might go back in, and probably more single homes back in there. Or we're looking for what is the demand of the community, what are people looking for, and that's why we don't want to go crazy doing one or the other first.
Sure.
And then kind of see what the demand is.
Okay.
But that's where we're starting at, and then as you go back towards the river, those will be all single family homes and probably a bigger lot. They are bigger lots.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions of Connie while she's up here? Okay. Thanks, Connie.
Thank you.
Okay. Hearing nothing else, can I have a motion to approve Ordinance 2023-9 on first reading?
So moved.
Motion by Dan, seconded by Jennifer, and we'll call for the voice vote. Tad?
Aye.
Dan?
Aye.
Walt?
Yes.
Jennifer?
Aye.
And that passes 4-0.
We say that we sound like pirates, don't we?
Different than R, but yes. So. Thank you. Okay. Next up, we're going to go to the Compliance with Statement of Benefits for Real Estate Improvements. We have a whole host of these tonight. And for some reason, my thing is messing up here. Dale apparently has walked up, so we are ready to go with...
Yeah, I think we only have two actual companies, right?
Right, exactly. Yep. So we have DOT America for Real 2014, Personal 2014, Real 17, Personal 17, Personal 21, and then B&R Real Estate for Real 2018. But that shows obviously how much DOT has grown since it initially came to Columbia City. So go ahead, Dale.
So for that, I'm representing Mike Venturini. He couldn't be here tonight, but I think we're all really pleased with the investment DOT's made. And again, what really is neat about it as well is they're owned by a German company, and the German company couldn't be happier to be in this community and wants to continue to invest. So I do have an update just to kind of tell everybody what's going on. The project's not completed. The new project out that they were here not that long ago on some request for things. Things are going well. Business is doing very good. They'd be further along, but there was a delay in Grinder's ability to get some components. There's a switch here and some other materials, and then I don't think they could get some of the grass and landscaping in, which is coming in. But the new office area is updated. They have new meeting and conference rooms. They've spent a lot of money on the employee break room. They got
ping pong, 75-inch TV, so I know where I'm going, next March Madness, in a lot large outdoor seating area. So they, like a lot of our area employers and Columbus City employers, it's always a struggle to find employees, so that, you know, they still have open racks. They're doing their best to meet the kind of estimate they put on the SB1. This is a great employer, and with their compliance forms in front. And the other thing about DOT, which I always appreciate, they're always the first one in, and they never have to be reminded about these compliance forms, because they're very appreciative that council gave them these abatements, and they're sure they take every advantage of them.
Thank you, Dale. Question to Dale.
Do you want me to go in?
No.
I'm sorry.
Jennifer, go ahead.
It's not really a question. It's just a statement. Their reports are really impressive as far as what they estimated their numbers to be and what they've come in at. So kudos to DOT America.
Yep. Agreed. Thanks. Yeah, if you want to go into BR Realty, that's perfectly fine.
Yeah, so BR Realty is the Verizon and the Jimmy John's building, and they were given an abatement several years ago. So they did miss their compliance last year. Bill Rabel, who's the owner at Quadruple Bypass, almost died, had to have a valve replacement and all that, missed it. And by the way, his wife has dementia. So there was very extenuating circumstances on that. He's back on schedule, and I've already talked to the auditor as well, and I'm asking for counsel to start that compliant or the tax abatement back up again. He didn't get it last year, and then everybody's going to blame me for their increased Jimmy John's sandwich prices. That gets passed on. But if we could please approve this compliance form as well and get that abatement going again. And he has assured me that that will not be missed in the future.
So to be clear, effectively he's missed out on one year's worth of abatement purely because he didn't get the forms in and recognize their circumstances and stuff. But, you know, this council's been very adamant about, like, this is something that we do, and if you want it, then you need to make sure it gets turned in and stuff. And so I think you're basically just asking to pick up on the current schedule, not to go retroactive.
No, just
okay.
You know, like, there was a hiccup that wants to get started.
Yep.
So that was 2017?
2018?
I believe
18. Yeah. 18. Yeah. 18. That was the BR Real Estate 2018. So. Okay.
And those are the only two tonight, but these will continue for several council meetings to come as folks start to turn these in. And I'll do on a couple of these, and we're going to want to have the companies come in, and some of the others we'll see again representing where they stand.
Okay. Questions, Dale?
No, thank you for being here.
I mean, look for the BNR or BR, but it looks like they are on. Based off of this,
yeah,
looks good.
Yeah, I think most of the time they're meeting or exceeding the expectations. So, okay, thanks, Dale.
Thank you.
I will say on the BNR, I have it listed incorrectly. It's 2018-3, not 20.
Okay.
In case you're going to read them.
So it's supposed to be 2018-3. Yeah, I probably won't read those because effectively all we're really going to do is just go through each of them and determine whether they're in compliance and grant the additional year of abatement. As a note, since we actually have an audience tonight, thanks for being here, by the way. So to give you kind of a brief overview of what tax abatement is without putting you to sleep, a new company says we're going to come in and we're going to invest X amount of dollars in either property, meaning we're going to build a building, or in like machinery, if you will. And so there's an assessment of what that cost is going to be or what that additional growth is going to be toward the tax rolls. And in order to encourage that growth to happen, we as the city and city council has the ability to effectively say, okay, we're going to abate a portion of those taxes over time. So the first year may be 100%. You're not paying 100% on that piece of equipment or that building, but not the rest. Your rest of your taxes, you're paying normally. So then the second year, maybe you're paying 90%, or you're paying 10%, and it kind of graduates up. So it's effectively one of the economic development opportunities that we have as a city to be able to do that. I think one of the misnomers that some of the public members have is that we're abating all of their property taxes. That's not true at all. In fact, we're only doing just that little piece of property, because usually when they come in, they're either a brand new company, they're going to build a brand new building, you know, sometimes millions of dollars worth of equipment, and sometimes, but most of the time when they come in for an abatement, it's especially the second and third abatement, it ends up being a scenario where they've grown so much in the community, they're adding value overall. So, brief synopsis of what abatements are. So with that being said, I'm going to just go down the list here. If anybody wants to talk about any of the individualized, I'm happy to do that. But since Dale did such a great job of explaining those things, I'm going to just go through the list. So, So the abatements start officially on page. Let me get there. Start on page 20 of the packet.
Okay. I got all the individuals.
Yep. There you go. Okay. So, do I have a motion to for DOT America's Real Property 2014 abatement to find them in compliance and grant an additional year of abatement?
So moved.
Motion by Jennifer.
Second.
Seconded by Tad for the discussion. We'll go to the voice vote. Tad?
Aye.
Dan?
Aye.
Walt?
Aye.
Jennifer?
Aye.
That carries unanimously of those present. Next up is DOT America Personal Property 2014. Do I have a motion to find them in compliance and grant an additional year of abatement?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Tad, seconded by Dan. I tried to mix your names together. Okay, we'll go to the vote. Tad?
Aye.
Dan?
Aye.
Walt?
Aye.
Jennifer?
Aye.
It is unanimous of those present. Next up is DOT America Real Property for 2017. Do I have a motion to find them in compliance and grant an additional year of abatement?
So moved.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Walt for the discussion. Go to the voice vote. Tad?
Aye.
Dan?
Aye.
Walt?
Aye.
Jennifer?
Aye.
It is unanimous. Next up is DOT America Personal Property 2017. Do I have a motion to find them in compliance and grant an additional year of abatement?
So moved.
Motion by Dan, seconded by Tad. For the discussion, we'll go to the voice vote. Tad?
Aye.
Dan?
Aye.
Walt?
Aye.
Jennifer?
Aye.
It is unanimous. Next up is DOT America for Personal Property. I believe this is the three-year one, is it not?
Yes.
Okay. So this is a three-year abatement on this one. So do I have a motion to find DOT America in compliance and grant an additional year of abatement?
So moved.
So moved.
Motion by Tad, seconded by Jennifer. Further discussion? Go to the voice vote. Tad?
Aye.
Dan?
Aye.
Walt?
Aye.
Jennifer?
Aye.
Carries unanimously. Next up is B&R Real Estate. Were there any questions about that? We're going to talk more about DOT, but I think we got both of those kind of taken care of. Okay? Hearing none, do I have a motion to find B&R Real Estate in compliance and grant an additional year of abatement for their real property 2018?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Dan, seconded by Walt. Further discussion. Go to the voice vote. Tad?
Aye.
Dan?
Aye.
Walt?
Aye.
Jennifer?
Aye.
Okay, it carries unanimously. Thank you. Thanks, Dale.
Yep, thank you.
Okay, next up we will move to a list of ordinances regarding the rate adjustment. As you all will remember in previous meetings, we've had lots of discussion about this. The Utility Rate Advisory Board, which is made up completely of citizens, have came forward with a suggestion of a 2% rate adjustment, if you will, across the board on all the utilities. If you were at the State of the City address, you heard me say this, but I'm going to go over some of the things as well that are departments are experiencing. Concrete costs up 8%, soil costs up 10%, asphalt up 11%, wastewater pumps up 23%, chlorine gas costs are up 80%, meter-based costs are up 133%, pad mount transformers are up an average of 200+%. So I just say that to say that's really where we're hurting. We're hurting because all the cost of materials are continually going up, and of course we're kind of retroactive when it comes to our actual utility rates in and of themselves. So the way in which we've done this in the past, as you're well aware, is we used to kind of wait till the last moment and do a big increase. So it'd be a $20, $25, $30 increase, and instead last year we made the determination that we wanted to do a yearly review, so it's easier to ease into some of these things and these cost increases that we're experiencing. And so with the Utility Rate Advisory Board's recommendation, and certainly with your support last time, these ordinances have been drafted regarding the rates and charges for each of the utilities with a 2% across the board adjustment. So with that being the case, we need to do these one at a time. So do I have a motion to read ordinance number 2023-5 by title only?
So moved.
Motion by Dan, seconded by Jennifer. Further discussion? Go to the voice vote. Tad?
Aye.
Dan?
Aye.
Walt?
Aye.
Jennifer?
Aye.
It is unanimous of those present. Please read ordinance number 2023-5.
Ordinance 2023-5, City of Columbia City, Indiana, an ordinance amending the rates and charges for the City of Columbia City Municipal Electric Utility.
So again, I've really already kind of described it, but this is the across the board. This does not include, by the way, any codification of the what used to be the tracking factor, which is the cost of generation that's passed on directly, that we pass directly to the to our customers from our utility, or I'm sorry, our power creators, if you will, okay, the generators. So that's not included in this, so that's not a part of the actual rate structure. Questions from the council? Yes, Tad.
So this is just 1 year, and then will be reviewed annually? I'm just looking for like an end date year.
Yeah, so I think these would become effective July 1 of 23.
Mm-hmm.
And my goal is that every year, around the same time every year, that February-ish time frame, February, March, that the Utility Rate Advisory Board, well, before that, Utility Rate Advisory Board would review, make some determinations, bring those determinations to the council. Council makes the determination of how you want to go forward. Ordinance is written. Get it done before July. Okay. Any other questions from the council? Okay. Okay. Hearing none. Just as an FYI, from a schedule, I'm going to maybe turn it over to Rosie for 2 seconds to talk about the actual schedule of how this happens. So.
Okay, so we will be having a public hearing on June 13th, and at that time, we will approve the ordinances for final reading, and then they'll go into effect in July, on July 7th.
We've talked about it for several meetings.
Yeah.
Is there anything that's going to be sent out to our customers? Like 60 days prior, 30 days prior?
It was all sent out. We are required by law to send a notice to all the users outside the city limits. That went out last Friday, I think, because I've gotten calls already that they stopped me. But they were fine with them. When I told them their bill was going to go up, with their current usage, it was going to go up like 50 cents to a dollar a month. So it wasn't a lot. But it mainly only affects electric.
And that was that particular utility.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, I just want to make sure that...
Yeah.
Well, and to be clear, I mean, I talked about this in my State of the City address. I've talked about it on Facebook, on my Lunch with the Mayor. We've talked about it multiple meetings here in the City Council meetings. We've tried to make it public in a lot of ways. So, and
ordinance did go in the paper. It's going in the paper. It had to be in there before we had our public hearing on the 13th. So, I think it was 30 days before that.
Okay.
So, it will be in the paper too.
I just want to thank the advisory board for the work they put into this study and the work that was done. Thank you guys very, very much. It means a lot to us and the public. So, thank you guys.
So, we will. Okay, so hearing none, we'll go ahead and go to the, or do I have a motion to approve ordinance 2023-5 on first reading?
So moved.
Motion by Tad, seconded by Dan. Further discussion? Go to the voice vote. Tad?
Aye.
Dan?
Aye.
Walt?
Aye.
Jennifer?
Aye.
Okay, it's unanimously approved. We'll move it to second reading. So again, reminder, we'll do the public hearing. And then it would go to second reading after that public hearing, obviously, assuming that's what you want to do. So next up, we have a motion to read ordinance 2023-6 by title only.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Tad. Further discussion? All in favor, show by the usual sign. Oh, I'm sorry.
Aye.
Voice vote. I'm so used to doing that. Tad?
Aye.
Dan?
Aye.
Walt?
Aye.
Jennifer?
Aye.
It's unanimous of those present. Please read ordinance number 2023-6 by title only.
Ordinance 2023-6, an ordinance amending the rates and charges for the City of Columbia City, for the City of Columbia City Municipal Water Utility.
So this is the water component. Again, I told you we have to do it for all four. So any questions regarding the water portion? Okay. Do you have a motion to approve ordinance number 2023-6 on first reading?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Walt, seconded by Dan. Further discussion? We'll go to the voice vote. Tad?
Aye.
Dan?
Aye.
Walt?
Aye.
Jennifer?
Aye.
It's unanimous of those present. We'll move that to second reading at that June meeting. June 13th. Thank you. Next up is ordinance number 2023-7. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Motion by Tad, seconded by Dan. Further discussion? Go to the voice vote. Tad?
Aye.
Dan?
Aye.
Walt?
Aye.
Jennifer?
Aye.
It's unanimous of those present. Please read ordinance number 2023-7 by title only.
Ordinance 2023-7, an ordinance amending the rates and charges for the City of Columbia City Municipal Sewer Utility.
The sewer portion, obviously. Questions? Okay, do I have a motion to approve ordinance 2023-7 on first read?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Tad, seconded by Dan. Further discussion? Go to the voice vote. Tad?
Aye.
Dan?
Aye.
Walt?
Aye.
Jennifer?
Aye.
It's unanimous of those present. We'll move it to the second reading. Lastly, is ordinance 2023-8. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Walt, seconded by Dan. Further discussion? Go to the voice vote. Tad?
Aye.
Dan?
Aye.
Walt?
Aye.
Jennifer?
Aye.
It is unanimous of this present. Please read ordinance number 2023-8 by title only.
Ordinance 2023-8, an ordinance amending the rates and charges for the City of Columbia City Municipal Stormwater Utility.
So it should be noted this is the first time since before I was in office that we've actually adjusted the stormwater utility. Okay. So you're aware of that. Any questions about that? Okay? Which means you guys were probably the last that you guys were in that council that way back. 2010, I think. That sound right? I think it was 2010. Anyway,
let's see. That was back when Mike Shoto was a teenager.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve ordinance 2023-8 on first reading?
So moved.
Motion by Tad, seconded by Dan. Further discussion? We'll go to the voice vote. Tad?
Aye.
Dan?
Aye.
Walt?
Aye.
Jennifer?
Aye.
It's unanimous of those present. We'll move that to second reading. Thanks, everybody. Next up is department reports.
Can I be dismissed for that?
Oh, yeah. Well, let me ask. Is anybody here to speak from the public? Yeah. Okay. So, department heads, I'm going to put you on pause. We're going to do public input first then, okay? So if you would like to speak, please come up to the microphone, name and address, and then we are happy to hear from you. I'm okay. Sorry.
So today I just wanted to share with you guys a cool thing that a friend of mine sent me. A city in Belgium offered free chickens per household to anyone who wanted chickens, with a total of 2,000 families getting the chickens. The first month, food waste in the landfill decreased by 100 tons. According to their research, if one in three households owned enough chickens to eat all of the chicken kitchen scraps, the egg industry in the United States would be entirely non-essential. So I just thought that was really cool. And again, telling you guys that we super need to have chickens because sustainability is important, and you know, knowing where your food is coming from. And these are options that should definitely exist, at least on a case-by-case basis. So, thank you.
Thanks, Melanie.
Thank you.
Next up. Name and address, please.
Ed Rodriguez, 11746 Longdale, Plymouth, Indiana. Zip code?
It doesn't matter. But we know where you're at.
So I came here last meeting. I think you gentlemen were not here. I left some packets for you guys. I don't know if you have time to review it.
Maybe in front of them right now, actually.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
So I presented on the driving privilege card the last time that I was here in hopes that we could obtain a resolution in support of... with Senate Bill 248 down in Indianapolis. Driving privilege card basically allows driving privileges to folks that cannot qualify for a state-issued ID or a state-issued driver's license. So primarily the undocumented folks that are coming out of prisons, some of the elderly that they can't obtain these kind of things. We're going really around the state of Indiana. Tomorrow I'm presented to the mayor down in Frankfort, and we're trying to set up something up here in Kendallville to try and earn these resolutions so that January 2024 we can go down to the legislators and prove that there's support for this. Where in the past, these efforts start January as soon as the session starts, and of course they're always saying there's a lack of support, which would be true, because there's not enough time to really go around the state and get support. So that's the purpose of my coming last meeting.
Okay. Questions of it? So I think what last time at the council, and Jennifer and Tad, you guys can remind me, but I think last time at the council you wanted to take a little time to review, obviously, because these two guys weren't here and stuff. And so... I anticipate you want to kind of see what they have to say, and do you want to like put it on like the next agenda, or is there something you'd like to?
Well, I have a couple questions. So yeah. Thank you for coming back. I didn't know you were coming back, but yeah. I have had multiple conversations with people, you know, that I come into contact with on a day-to-day and weekly basis.
Yeah.
And so a couple questions that came up from those people, and I had two specific conversations, one with like young adults and then one with some not older people, but well, right, they're probably not as young as they're probably younger than me. But anyways, but they're adults. what are the obstacles for the people who want to use this to just going through the chain of just getting documentation or becoming a citizen? And I'll give you a preface of that. So I have a sister-in-law that is from Indonesia. And she actually became an American citizen, and it took her, I think it took her like 4 years,
yeah.
But she went through every step of the process, took all the testing, passed everything, and we had a big celebration when she was done, you know. And so now she speaks decent English. I don't know if the mayor's met her or not.
I have not yet.
But anyway, so she went through all the channels to citizenship,
right.
And I know in talking with her, And we haven't had this conversation recently because she's in Indonesia right now. Mm-hmm. But it's a real sticking point for her and others who have gone through that. Like, hey, I did all this. Why can't others? And you kind of addressed that a little bit, but maybe you can speak more, I don't know, in more in depth on that for us.
Yeah, so I'm not an expert in immigration.
Sure.
But I think whether we're CNN followers or Fox followers, I think that we...
And I'm neither, so...
I think we kind of get an idea of what's taking place down at the borders.
Mm-hmm.
And outside of the borders, I mean, it seems it's no longer even Hispanics coming in. It's primarily the Chinese and the Russians. And,
sure.
You know, maybe one would argue folks that maybe would want to harm us.
Sure.
So through all this, the federal government has now capped the number of folks coming in from certain countries.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are even on hit lists that are not even allowed to come in.
Mm-hmm.
They're still coming in. We all know that.
Mm-hmm.
So the procedure to gain citizenship in the U.S. is very arduous. It's very long. It's very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
COVID caused a major, major backlog. You know, we worked with an immigration attorney out of Goshen, Felipe Merino, and he would definitely answer this a lot better, but I've heard him answer this question in the past,
mm-hmm.
where he's had folks that 27, 40 years in the U.S., working, being law-abiding citizens, but they were afraid
mm-hmm.
to even take that step. It wasn't really even the money at that point. It was the fact that I'm going to present myself,
mm-hmm.
and the next step is I'm gone. So that's really the biggest thing and the biggest reason.
Mm-hmm.
Now, back to the numbers, the federal government will allot, you know, from Cambodia, from Thailand, from Mexico, from wherever,
mm-hmm.
a certain number per year that, you know, have to be vetted. They have to follow the procedures.
Sure.
But with this backlog and the number of folks that are asking for asylum right today, has really caused more and more panic for folks that are trying to gain citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was something that was brought up in Indianapolis, and I apologize because I don't remember the two gentlemen's names. They're both senators, one out of Kokomo, one right out of Fort Wayne,
mm-hmm.
that were pretty adamant in the position that you're bringing up. And so our attorney, Felipe Benino, approached them afterwards. It passed, by the way, 5-4 through the Homeland Security and Transportation Committee,
mm-hmm.
and asked them, so exactly what is the holdup? I mean, why can't we get you to vote yes on this?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's nothing in the bill, which it was too late for it to be amended, but in 2024 it will be present, and that's asking for some type of documentation that this individual will have to sign that when citizenship is made available,
mm-hmm.
they must register to be citizens of the United States. And so at least get them moving in that direction.
Sure.
There's no protection whatsoever.
Yeah.
So again, the fear and coming out of the shadows is not the easiest thing to convince them.
Sure.
But if this affidavit is something that will help this thing along, everybody wants to be a citizen of the United States of America.
Oh, yeah.
Let's just face it.
Yeah.
It's just those obstacles that are so difficult to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, Washington doesn't help things at all.
Sure. Okay, thank you. I was just curious because, again, I got that
yep.
asked that twice. So.
Yep. Okay. Yep. And you guys weren't here the last time. A couple of the components that I think are very important is, you know, we as, you know, whatever party, you know, you favor, I'm a very conservative individual. And I believe, just like most of us, in law and order. This is a country of law and order, and I totally agree with that. And so if our mindset is that, and we know that these folks are going to drive, they're going to drive. The real jeopardy that all our families are in when these folks, they're not instructed, they don't have to learn the rules of the road, the signs and the lights and the speed and all of those things. They don't pass an exam with the driving instructors through the DMV. They're out there driving. And worst of all, chances of them carrying full coverage insurance are very slim. So the driving privilege card program, Senate Bill 248, will force them to go to the DMV. The DMV will vet them. It's a whole list of documents that they will have to provide. They will have to pass the test, You'll have to drive with an instructor and pass the test there to obtain this driving privilege card. At that point, they must carry full coverage insurance 100%. And because they're high risk, they will be paying the highest premiums out there, just like when we first started, you know, as a 16-year-old kid, and to prove their driving record. And at some point, it starts to come down. But one of the benefits that is being told is that our premiums will go down simply because of the volume of policies that will go up in Indiana. And we're up to 19 states now across the country that have approved this law.
Thank you. So as you kind of process this and you go through and, you know, build those questions and things like that, I think your information's on those documents that you gave us, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
So I would encourage you as you kind of go through those and you read through those and really process it, please make sure you email it. I think that there's a lot of good stuff. I told you at the last meeting, I'll tell you again. I'm supportive of this. The AIM Board of Directors has moved to support this as well, and I know a lot of the small communities around us are supporting this as well, purely for the sake of it makes them go through classes, it gives them the opportunity to get insurance, and that hopefully, and at the end of the day, will save us all money because there's not a whole bunch of uninsured drivers still out there, or at least the number of those are dramatically decreased. So.
And I do always mention, I should mention this again, this will not allow folks to vote. Okay? Mm-hmm. So I don't want to, you know, get misconstrued. This will not be, as a matter of fact, I think I brought it up the last time.
Yep.
The BMV has been toying around with a card that's not even similar to our driver's licenses. Perhaps a round card, a shape of a hexagon, something. That if you walked into the voting center and you tried to pass it off and somebody was half asleep at the wheel, none of that. I mean, there's just no way with a round card that somebody's going to be allowing you to vote.
Yep.
So I think the legislators have done a great job of checking all the boxes to make sure that if we're going to do this, we're going to do this properly. So, all right, any questions from you guys at this point?
I'm not at this time.
I'm good at this point.
Okay.
Thanks,
guys.
Thank you.
Next up. Either you guys don't want to say anything else?
No.
You're all good?
You want chicken.
Okay.
Go chicken.
You are pro chicken. Pro chicken. Okay, very good. Thank you. Okay. Thanks, Dan.
I really do care about you guys, but I got a game.
He's got a softball game he's gotta get to.
I'm gonna take copious notes, Dan, and
there
I'll
you go.
Report.
Ted'll take care of you. So just so you know, when Dan leaves, no official other action can take place, just for the record. So
good luck tonight.
So, Chip.
I'll let Gary talk about First Friday. And I only really have one thing. The pool's washed, getting ready for get the frog out of my mouth. It's the phone.
It's the phone that does it?
Yes.
It's the camera that does it?
Pool will be ready open by Memorial Day. So they've got it all cleaned out today and ready to go.
Question of the chip. Okay. Thanks, Garrett.
All right, we're down to three applicants for the informal interviews to fill four positions, which I'm a little disappointed in, but, you know, we want to get the best candidate for the job. So we do formals, we do informals, chief's interview, and the Board of Works interview. So it's a long process, but, again, as I said, we want to get the best person for the job. Ordinance season is among us, so high grass is spreading all around the city, so we got guys going out speaking to homeowners about getting their grasses mowed. Operation Pullover is getting ready to start up for seat belts, so we have several officers participating in that program. Road guys, I can't say enough about the help they've helped us here lately with being short staffed. They've really stepped up and filling shifts, and again, I can't thank them enough for that. We will be opening up another process. It seems like this is an ongoing thing, but again, a little disappointing, but we'll get there. First Fridays have been great. I mean, this was the first one, and perfect weather, had no issues at all, so went off smooth. Very busy. Dispatch, they got 7 applicants going to their informals, and they have 1 position to fill, so that's a pretty good pool. And again, they're people's filling shifts and helping out too, being shorthanded.
Okay. Question to Gary. Melanie, do chickens eat grass?
Yes.
Okay.
Got a flock of them for you, Gary.
Maybe we can just release chickens on those properties. Right? And just eat all the grass.
Chickens, goats.
Okay, Mike.
Me and Jefferson Force Main Project went out to bid last week. We'll have a pre-bid meeting on 31st of this month. The CSO structure 19 at the treatment plant that they reported on, that they had poured the concrete, the base, the wall, and everything like that. That wall was torn down today, and the base will come out probably tomorrow. The subcontractor used the wrong mix that was submitted, so they didn't follow specs. So the engineer and myself, we had them take the concrete back out, and they'll have to reinstall it. They'll have on-site inspections during that process at their expense, not ours, to make sure that they don't have to do it a third time. Filled out the construction permit for the Force Main project today, right in. We have a grip propeller that the motor had some burnt windings, and they found some burnt wires, so they're in process of replacing that and having the motor repaired, and I've been in contact with both Whitco and Clinton City High School for the intern program. So that's all I have for right now.
Question to Mike. Thanks, Mike. Mike.
We've been putting all new meters in this week, and we've had four guys doing that. Also, we had the pipe that's in the back, that goes down in the back of Morsha's Park, fused together last week, and had a couple new services hooked up.
Question to Mike. Thanks, Mike. Tom.
I can't miss the opportunity. Mike Cook, tear down that wall.
I didn't want to, but
our bay floors were redone yesterday and today. They were just going to come in the morning and do stripes, but they had to let the epoxy floor breathe, so I have to leave the doors cracked a little bit. Well, Mother Nature in her glory evidently had just the perfect wind and blew these little tree blossom flowers in on top of that wet epoxy, and I noticed it before Board of Works, and I contacted the salesman, and they will be in here at 5 a.m. now to address putting the stripes down and fixing what Mother Nature did to their epoxy.
The floral pattern that you now have.
The floral pattern. So if you see our truck sitting outside, that's because the epoxy's got to set. 101 was down at the mechanic today. There was a seal that didn't get a good seal, I guess, on the driver's side rear. He fixed that. Last week, he replaced the brakes, just normal maintenance. I'd like to thank the water department for going out of their way to assist us with a situation at Walmart with their sprinkler system that had been problematic for a couple of weeks. They had to order parts, and when Walmart repaved their parking lot the last time, they covered Mike's water shut off, and it was a bit of a mess. So we had to contact Bentonville, Arkansas, and say, hey, we're going to have to tear up part of your parking lot, or potentially, and get all the clearances. So the water department went way out of their way on this, and just wanted to say thank you. We have two lateral applicants for our one position that is open. Hopefully they'll go through their first round of interviews, and we'll eventually bring them to the Board of Works, probably, would be my guess, because I know both of these individuals, and I think we got two solid applications. The mayor sent out a very cheerful email today talking about PFAS in our turnout gear, and a law was passed that it's going to have to be identified as having PFAS in it until they come up with a material to replace it. As the mayor was talking about earlier about the price increases everybody else is experiencing, fire service is no different. We're seeing material cost and out of the roof. This is probably going to drive our turnout gear, in my vision. Our turnout gear prices in a very similar pattern, so it's just upsetting to me. Also, last meeting, 2 weeks ago, I reported about our gas meters, and we had them in, but we were having troubles getting them hooked up. The 17th, we will have a technician here to help us get these things up and running. So we only have one of our existing old meters that is still operational, and it's holding on by its teeth. So we're excited to get these gas meters going. And that's it.
Question to Tom. Thank you. Mason, do you want to introduce yourself and tell what the youth council did last meeting?
Last meeting. So I'm Mason Straub. I'm part of the Columbia City Youth Council. Last meeting, that feels like so long ago.
Fifth grade.
I don't remember.
Fifth grade.
So we had fifth grade presentations at Northern Heights in Kowessie. And so basically what we did is we went up to Northern Heights in Kowessie, and we presented to fifth graders what we had learned within Youth Council about government. So it was a really fun and interactive activity with the fifth graders.
Yep. Great. Question to Mason?
I got to say that Mason does an awesome job on WJHS when he gives the weather report.
Yeah?
Superstar.
I didn't know that he does that.
He does a great job.
Very cool.
Early in the morning. I don't know when it even airs. I never listen to myself.
Oh.
So do you have the forecast for tomorrow? Is that what?
We do a preview?
It's beginning of the day. So it starts at like 5, I think.
Gotcha.
Runs to 9.
Okay. Thank you. Rosie.
No.
No.
One of you too. One of you too. Just a couple of things so you're aware. We had the Solid Waste Board and Joint Advisory Board yesterday. Joint Advisory Board is really just the budget meeting for the yearly piece of the Planning and Building Department, which I sit on and Jenny also sits on your behalf. Had Eagle Glen Association meeting last night, which that's Jenny's district, but overall I think that went pretty well. There weren't a whole lot of complaints, which is good, about the city or anything like that. Let's see, what else? Redevelopment Commission, you'll talk about that, I'm assuming. We had our kickoff for the, and by kickoff I mean we, Chip and I met with the consultants over the upcoming downtown plan and kind of had a kickoff meeting with them specifically just to talk about steps forward, calendar, things like that. And so we'll be working on kind of the steering committee on that. Jennifer, I hope you're willing to serve on that. I know that that's a passion of yours. So let's see. We are updating the CGI videos that are on our website. So if you go to the Explore website, that first bar that is like welcome and downtown and schools and municipal services, where Chip makes a fantastic cameo, those videos, we are going to have those updated this year. And that is, again, no cost to the city, but they will be, like they did the last time, going out and getting sponsorships from businesses that will have their logo around those videos. Anyways, long story short is that we're working on kind of doing some updates of some of the shots and some of the script that needs to be updated for that. So that's that. This Thursday, we have 8 park director interviews to go through. It's going to be a busy day, so don't expect much response back from Rosie or I or Beth as we kind of go through those things. Let's see, anything else I need to let you know about? Youth Council's next Thursday. So we have a little project, and then it's the fun day. It's the goodbye to seniors day, so... With that, I don't think I have too much except to say a reminder that the next Board of Works City Council meeting are bumped up 1 hour. So Board of Works will be at 4 instead of 5. Council will be at 5 instead of 6. So, and that we talked about the last meeting and this meeting, and we'll definitely publicize that way. So, well,
I have nothing.
Okay. Dad, I'm going to Jennifer.
I'm making the change in my calendar for.
Okay.
But I can,
to make sure that you can.
Yeah. We had our redevelopment today. Really,
the main thing that we discussed that we accomplished was a couple of grants, one for signage for downtown square, a 50% for signage on that property, and then we granted the Columbia City Connect $5,000 to help them advance their program for their advertising, marketing, and just the growth of that program, which they've been doing an outstanding job. I mean, I went down for First Fridays this past weekend. It was outstanding. Continues to get better. More people are showing up. And so I think it's a great program, and the Redevelopment Commission thinks that they're doing a great job and going in the right direction, so we want to support them.
Great. Thanks, Tad. Jennifer, do you have anything to add?
I do.
Okay.
I have several things, actually.
Okay, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. First of all, I wanted to mention that the Columbia City Arts Commission is partnering with Columbia City Connect and also Whitley County Consolidated Schools for the art crawl that will be happening in downtown Columbia City on May 18th in the evening. Lots of area businesses will be hosting high school art, and as the Arts Commission, we're super excited about that and about the youth of our community having an opportunity to showcase their talent. So that is one thing. The other thing I wanted to mention is that last week, Dan and I were invited and attended the Deer Chase Neighborhood Association meeting. And during that meeting, we had a great opportunity to talk to residents there and to find out some of the questions that they had pertaining to the city. One of those questions was about US 30, and I think we've address that to the best of our ability. And the second one is an idea for snow plowing, and I will reach out to Kelly with that.
Okay. Yeah, I think Dan has also spoken with Kelly about that as well. So, yeah, that'd be good.
Okay. Super.
Anything else?
Nope.
Okay. Thank you, Jennifer. Okay. So that's all we have for council. There's no media here. So we will call the meeting adjourned. Thank you.